Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch Up at triplem.com.au.
The boys are away this week. Filling in, Dave Gleeson for the Screaming Jets, Channel 7's Alana Smith. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, all.
How are you finding the whole adjusting to the daylight savings? Because there could be a couple of people behind the scenes of Triple M struggling.
I call it a peace opus. It's an absolute peace opus for me. I don't mind getting up early. It's lovely to get up and have no traffic on the road.
That's absolutely true.
Mate, there's no traffic on the roads anyway.
Oh, there is. Didn't you see North Terrace yesterday? Now, this morning, I saw this orange moon when I woke up. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know whether I was awake long enough. I may have been in a dream state. But, the moon was orange, and then I came around the corner and disappeared behind the clouds, and that was that. So
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
What you do is, if you look up.
No, I didn't see it. Although, I'll tell you one thing, though. We all come into the city from different directions. Alana, roadworks when you come in between your home and here?
I've got a really quick trip. I'm just coming from Melbourne.
Really?
So
all right.
Depending, good 8 minutes.
Depending on what way you went, Gleeso. Have you got roadworks on your way?
No, mate. They don't have roadworks over in the east. we try to keep them in other parts of Adelaide.
Yeah, like the end of the Southern Expressway, which, I mean, I get it. I definitely get it. It's going to make things a lot better. The people working on it doing a fantastic job, but come on. I'm so over it now because you just know that you're going to stop. At 4:45 in the morning, you're going to get stopped. You're just sitting there bored and it's like, well, come on.
What's it adding to the trip?
I think it's probably adding around if it buggers up. You know how you get a good run of lights that hour of the morning? Mm-hmm. If it buggers up your run, you're looking at around 15 minutes.
Ooh. You know what you've got to do? Make it fun. Like,
how are you going to make
what
that
are some
fun?
Suggestions?
You know when the guy has that sign that says slow, yell out, no need to advertise it, mate. You know, just stuff like that. Makes you feel better. Well, makes me feel better.
Maybe Gleeso could have a sleepover at your place and you could bring him in and he could show you how to make the trip fun.
Pull an all-nighter.
There'd be a, hey, Doug. There's a big orange moon. Later on this morning, we're going to be catching up with Crow CEO Andrew Fagan, also Will Anderson and Big Mal dropping by. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
These are the big stories, or at least things that have certainly caught our attention this morning on the headlines and at triplem.com.au.
Yeah, well, it's pretty hard to escape the mass murder that took place in Las Vegas yesterday. More facts are coming out about the gunman. And the most interesting thing really is just how quickly, despite all the tales of bravery and tragedy in this, that the conversation has firmly switch to gun control in the US and why is nothing being done. In particular, Jimmy Kimmel was very passionate and emotional about the topic.
I've been reading comments from people who say this is terrible, but there's nothing we can do about it. But I disagree with that intensely because, of course, there's something we can do about it. But we don't, which is interesting because when someone with a beard attacks us, we tap phones, we invoke travel bans, we build walls, we take every possible precaution to make sure it doesn't happen again. But when an American buys a gun and kills other Americans, then there's nothing we can do about that. Second Amendment, I guess, our Orlando, Newtown, Aurora, San Bernardino, every one of these shootings, the murderer used automatic or semi-automatic rifles, which are not weapons you use for self-defense. Why is that allowed? I don't know why our so-called leaders continue to allow this to happen. Or maybe a better question, why do we continue to let them to allow it to happen?
Now, we've got that whole thing uncut at our Facebook page, Triple M Adelaide. And I watched that last night and I was choking up. It goes for about 8-9 minutes. It is not scripted. It's completely off the cuff. He's speaking from the heart because Las Vegas is Jimmy Kimmel's hometown. It is just incredible, the speech and the points that he makes as well. Without it being too political, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, look, how many is it going to take? This is what must be exasperating. There was even a bloke who played in one of the bands prior to Jason Aldean being up there, and he just tweeted, I've long been a supporter of the rights of the Second Amendment, people to bear arms, he said, but this has got to stop. He said, for a country band, obviously it's going to land him in hot water with a lot of his fans, but what's going to be the catalyst to make them say, right, this is just enough now? It's like, there's enough for every man, woman, and child. 300 million people in the US is enough for every man, woman, and child to have 4 or 5 automatic weapons each.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because it's not just the right to bear arms. Why does this man have access to 42 guns legally?
And
it makes zero sense. Why would anyone need that many guns?
And I'm not a huge fan of John Howard. Let me say that straight up before I go any further. But what he did in the wake of the Port Arthur massacre is, I would say, has undoubtedly put us in a better position with gun control than probably most countries in the world.
Yeah, we're going to be chatting with a gun expert later on this morning. Hopefully get them on, but you can keep that chat going on Twitter at Triple M Adelaide. A bit closer to home, guys. Well, I say closer to home. Tell them, Ben.
It's not that close.
Technically speaking, back in South Australia. And big news for Talon Bend as well.
Yes, they're building a massive racetrack out there.
One of the biggest in the world.
It's been rumoured that MotoGP are even looking at having a round here, which is fantastic.
Didn't know that.
I love the bikes. They're talking about maybe 50,000 people rocking up for the first one. It's a go. It's going ahead.
Yeah.
But they have what I like about it. It's got that Bathurst feel. You'll be able to camp there.
Yeah.
Which is always a great thing for those motorsporting events.
Yep. Yeah. So the new V8 Supercars event will run from August 24th to 26th in August of next year. That's its first. First run, so 2 V8 Supercars events for the state. Of course, the city track, the street track with Clipsal in March, and then another race in August.
I would definitely drive there, especially if there was something like a MotoGP or something as well. But remember that Talon Bend has just under 1,500 people as a population. So just purely based on what's going to happen to that community money-wise, fantastic.
Yeah, there's a hotel there, Caravan Park. It's a $110 million complex. And all the V8 supercar drivers are pretty impressed so far. They're saying it's a really good track.
Which is what you need. And, if the drivers don't like it, it's on a hide to nothing. So definitely a goer. I'm very excited about it.
Yep.
Excellent.
We'll be there.
And finally, I heard you guys talking about this morning. At least I was copying it. Can you fill me in? What's the third in our top three?
Well, am I saying this right? Balenciaga?
Balenciaga, yes.
What's that? Is that
it's a fashion house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
You're so high fashion, Gleeso.
Well, there has been shock as platform Crocs step out on the Paris catwalk. And for me, I knew it was just a matter of time. I've been a devotee, shall we say, of the Crocs. I started off with just your normal run-of-the-mill Crocs.
Yeah.
Wore out a couple of pairs of them. And then for Christmas about 3 or 4 years ago, I opened up one of my presents and lo and behold, it's a pair of Crocs, but with a hardcore walking outside sole on it.
Oh!
I still have those Crocs 3 or 4 years down.
It's been a long-running love affair that you've had with the footwear.
They're so comfortable. But, I mean, I've always... I don't know if you... Oh, you probably don't remember moon boots, but there were things
called... Yeah, I remember moon boots.
Moon boots. And I saw them. They had a massive sole on them. When I was about 14, I thought...
When you get injured, moon boot?
Well, they look a bit like that. Yeah, but I used to wear them to roller skating, et cetera, et cetera. They were kind of like... you tucked your jeans into them and stuff. The Crocs. The Crocs have finally made it to the Paris runway.
Hit the catwalk in platform form. They're sort of... been embellished with some... Have you got any decorative bits to your...
I used to. Back when I had run-of-the-mill crocs, I always tried to tart them up a bit. Now and again, they're still real ugly. Now and again, I do find myself down at Foodland looking down and going, oh, crap, I've got these on in public.
Do you wear them with socks?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
At home, I do. I was going to say, Crocs might be making their way under the catwalk overseas. Your Cooper's Ale hat.
Yeah.
Probably not, Gleeso.
I stole this from a venue we played in Melbourne.
Stolen chic.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Before 8 o'clock this morning, we'll be catching up with Will Anderson. Always good for a laugh. You can stream us online if you've got a bail from your radio on our free app and at triplem.com.au.
All right. Time to get a bit more clarity in terms of gun laws in America in the wake of the disaster that's taken place in Las Vegas. We're joined on the line by the manager of America's biggest gun shop. It's based in North Carolina, the Hyatt Gun Store. Roger Askew, thanks very much for your time. As Australians, I think we're baffled and really struggling to understand how one man can get his hands on 42 guns legally. How does this actually happen?
Well, first, I appreciate you for having us on. Just for clarification, gun collecting is a big thing in the United States. I was a gun collector way before I ever became a gun dealer. And for the most part, a gun collector is like a coin collector or anything else. It's just that we choose to collect firearms.
Right.
So there's no limit on the number of firearms that you can own.
But each individual firearm that you purchase from a retail outlet, you have to go through the same vetting process, the same identification process. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Now, the process is different in each state of the union. So you have 50 states, you've got 50 different laws that all have to be adhered to, and in addition to federal law. So here in North Carolina, to purchase a handgun, you have to get a permit from the sheriff's department, which is the chief law enforcement officer in your county of residence. Here, in order to qualify for a handgun permit, you have to not only, if you're going to carry a handgun, you have to not only be trained with it, you have to have a course on the ramifications under the law if you use deadly force, and then you have to undergo a mental health background investigation.
Right, so you talk about the different rules for different jurisdictions, but is there some sort of national register where you in North Carolina can see what someone has already purchased somewhere else or whatever findings were found about that person somewhere else?
Now, you asked two different questions. The first one, is there a national registry or database of firearms? And there is not. The second has to do with a prohibition to purchase a firearm. The answer to that question is, in most cases, yes. There's a national instant data check system that's run by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The FBI's NICS system is supposed to be notified by all local and state agencies if there is something that would preclude a person from owning a firearm. NICS is supposed to immediately be notified. The way that system works is, even if there's a question about a person's eligibility, or if it's there's a question about whether they should have a gun or not, then they will be delayed on the transaction for 5 to 6 days while the FBI continues their investigation. So if there is something questionable, even somebody, you know, has a common name, they will delay the transaction.
Now, obviously, one of the things that we've been hearing over here is that there was modifications carried out to this Las Vegas gunman's weaponry.
Right.
How hard is it to do that, and is there any legal requirement for you to then inform authorities that you have modified a weapon?
Absolutely. My background before I started selling firearms and working here is I was a para I was in the military, and one of the things the people get confused about is that the modern sporting rifles, the semi-automatics that American civilians purchase, outwardly resemble what I carried in the military, but they are not the same gun. Mechanically, they're not the same. And to change it, one, to do so legally is an incredibly difficult process. You submit a lot of paperwork to the federal government, along with fingerprints, photographs, and it takes about 9 months to a year on top of a special use tax to get approved for that military-grade weapon. The modifications that it's coming out right now that he may have done, a couple of them were legal, but the one of them was with a bump fire stock. The bump fire stock is an expensive piece of equipment, and it takes a lot of practice to learn how to use one correctly. Mm. If you modify a civilian modern sporting rifle or a military-style rifle to fire full automatic without government permission, that's a 20 years in prison or $20,000 fine or both, as a judge may determine.
Right. So, Roger, what do you think then needs to be done to stop these kinds of mass shootings from taking place then?
Well, first of all, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a politician. Mm. And I think the first thing to do is using common sense would be to enforce the laws that are already on the books. In the state in which I live, it's illegal to sell guns between individuals without a background check. So you enforce that. I believe that responsible gun owners they only remain responsible when they themselves follow the very letter of the law. I don't believe in there's a spirit of the law and a letter of the law. I believe it's the same thing when it comes to firearms. I also believe that we should have adhere to the system that, someone has a mental health issue, then find out if that person's armed. And if he is, then you take those firearms until that mental health issue has been dealt with. I hope that made sense. But,
it does indeed. Thanks. Thanks very much for your time, Roger.
All right.
Not a problem. Roger Askey, the manager of Hyatt Guns, America's largest gun shop, going over how easy or uneasy it is to actually get your hands on a firearm over in the States.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
The boys are away this week, covering them. Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets, Alana Smith from Channel 7. Who's to say that we still can't have the guests on to make us laugh? I say.
Absolutely. Oh, they're the ones that make me laugh when I listen to the show, so I'm stoked.
That's the only reason we're here.
Have a yarn with them.
Groove returns tonight, ABC 8:30, and the man that's in the middle chair, Will Anderson. Good morning.
Oh, Dave, Alana, hey, I love this. This feels to me like one of those TV shows when they say go down under. You know, it's like Magnum Down Under or Quigley Down Under. It feels like a spin-off that I'm making a special appearance in. I love it.
Well, tell us about what's happening, the banks and their ATM fees on the Gruen this evening.
Well, Dave, the banks are our big heroes at the moment because they've got rid of ATM fees, and we're all meant to feel really grateful about that, despite the fact that they were the ones who brought the ATM fees in the first place. And countries like Japan and Netherlands haven't even had ATM fees, but apparently we're meant to rejoice because the school bully finally isn't stealing our money anymore. So it's good.
Now, well, also you guys are going to be talking about the Aussie Toys Shopkins. I know some little girls that go absolutely bananas for these things. I don't really get it, but it's big business.
It's crazy. It's something that I hadn't heard of 2 weeks ago because I am not a person who has kids, so it'd be weird if I knew about Shopkins.
Yeah,
but now that I know about them, I wish that I did not. They are one of the biggest success stories in the world. They're an Australian company. The guy in charge has just become a billionaire on the Forbes billionaire list. He's in the top 1,500 richest people in the world off the back of these tiny little toys. They're basically just like shopping groceries with giant eyes on them. They've sold 600 million of them in the last 3 years. And 2 years ago, they sold more of them at Christmas than Star Wars toys. Oh. They are the biggest thing in the world. They're your kids' first capitalism. They are essentially nest for toddlers. They are the craziest business. And we're worried. Well, I'm a little skeptical about the idea of how early you should be introducing children to the idea of buying things and how good it is to shop. So we're going to have a chat about that on the show.
Look, because I've seen them and I don't get it. I mean, I guess I am a nearly 50-year-old man, so possibly I'm not on the same boat as you. My kids are too old to have them. But
our two-year-old, so when she's got her coins, she's got her money box, and she gets her shopping trolley, I say, "Where are you going?" "I'm going shopping." "What are you going to buy?" "I'm going to buy more monies." I'm like, excellent. You good keep idea. Thinking like that.
I mean, I like that. That is. I mean, I got to be honest with you. You've got a good one there. Don't
No shotguns for her.
I'm just going to go buy more money with my money.
And obviously, we've had this huge debacle going on in our corridors of power. We're finding out that most people who represent us in government aren't even from here.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. We think we've gone the wrong direction with this, though. I don't care where people are born as long as they do a good job, right? So we've challenged our ad agencies in the pitch to come up with two campaigns to convince Australians that all our politicians should be born overseas. That's the new theory. I don't want any of them born in Australia. There are massive tax benefits. To be honest, we could recruit the best. I mean, Obama's available now, for example. We could just import Obama in for a couple of terms. You send him back at the end. We don't have to pay him a pension. It's a very economical way to run our system.
Yep, sounds like a rock-solid campaign. We'll look forward to the show tonight. Thanks very much for your time.
I felt like this was good, guys. I'd be worried if I was ruined it. It might be a tough week for Roo for a couple of reasons.
The thing is, we know they're not listening.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, I normally feel like that when they're interviewing me as well.
Gruen returns tonight, ABC, 8:30 p.m. Will Anderson, speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Filling in, Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith on the phone. Well, he's certainly no stranger to Adelaide, certainly no stranger to this show, especially certainly no stranger to some of the people in the studio. Crow CEO Andrew Fagan, good morning.
G'day, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, thank
pretty
you.
Pretty good. How's it going at home?
It's pretty good. Just finished mopping. So.
Got the vacuuming to do.
No, I've done that already. You always vacuum before
very
you mop.
Very efficient in the
mornings. He knows.
Yeah, no, I had that done at sort of, yeah, 6:30. So, no, we're pretty good now. Spick and span, and at some stage I'll wake the little one up.
All right, Fags, you are here to talk trade and other things. Let's just quickly take a listen first to Jake Lever on Channel 7 yesterday.
I'll be going back to Melbourne to be with my family and friends. I've nominated the Melbourne Football Club. My manager has done a deal through the Melbourne Football Club, which is obviously securing my future, and really happy with it. They're young, they're exciting, especially to watch, and you know, they've shown great interest in me.
So Lever there talking about the deal with the Demons as if it's already done, but Brett Burton came out and said the club will certainly be looking after its interests first. You guys want two first round picks at least. What's the feedback from Melbourne in terms of you getting that?
Well, you're right. Well, it's a funny sort of situation, isn't it? So in a perfect world, in these situations, the player gets to where he wants to get, and the club gets the value that it's seeking, and it's nice and simple, and it gets done. But it's really as simple as that, and obviously it's a negotiation, and you know, Jake's not a free agent in any way, so he's only been with their football club for 3 years, so therefore it becomes very much a business transaction, and whether it's Melbourne or any one of the other Melbourne clubs, we'll just look to negotiate what we think is the best deal and returns the best value to the Adelaide Football Club so we can reinvest that back into our list.
And so in this position, obviously, you have the whip hand. You guys kind of are going to get more likely to get what you want than Jake Lever is to get what he wants. Is that how it goes?
No. There's some cards that the player can play. Right. So they could ultimately just refuse any other deal that we put to them and put themselves through the draft and try and take the risk of getting to the club that they want. They've got to get through a few clubs to get to Melbourne, but I said, you'd like to be pretty grown up about this and try and, you know, get a result that works for everyone. But it's said it's not as though they, you know, someone can just sort of determine a value and give it to you. It's also what they hold. It depends on what picks they hold, and it is you're sort of assembling apples and bananas and oranges to try and get to the value that you think is appropriate. So the first part of the discussion is both clubs agreeing on what we think is true and fair value, and you know, we'll hopefully finalise that with Melbourne or another club over the sort of the coming couple of weeks and get a deal done. And as I said, for us, it's the nature of the industry that, you know, this turns just into business now. And once a player tells you they're going to leave, then our obligations are just to do what's best for the Adelaide Football Club, for the players here, to ensure that they've got the best possible team to play with, and for the fans that we can continue to build a list that's going to be successful. So, you know, we've done it a couple of times now. We're old hands at it. I'm sure it'll work out okay.
So you guys have been pretty clear on the fact that you do want at least two first round picks, but if that wasn't to eventuate, is something better than nothing in terms of him then going to the draft?
Yeah, look, I don't think we've been overly public about what we think he's worth. So I think there's been lots of commentary about us, sort of suggesting we want two first round draft picks, we're pretty fixed in our mind about what we think is fair value, we won't speculate as to what that is right now. But I think that you would obviously prefer to get the value that you want and not walk away with nothing, but equally, you have principles to uphold as well. So, you know, we'll work as hard as we can to get, you know, what we think is fair value, and what happens after that will really just be a matter of how well the Melbourne Football Club are prepared to sort of deal and any other football club.
Excellent. Crow CEO Andrew Fagan, thanks so much for your time.
Is that all we're talking about?
I was going to ask about...
We're only talking about Jake Lever.
I got the
vacuuming and mopping out of the way early to just do that. I wouldn't have even bothered come on.
I want to hear about Matt, the theme behind yesterday's Mad Tuesday, I guess it was. Some people obviously went the golf theme, but there was certainly some
Not sure where the Ninja Turtles some of the other costumes fit in.
I've got to uncover that myself, because I heard about the golf theme, and look, you always get worried on these days, these Mad Monday or whatever they're called, Terrible Tuesday type days. As a CEO of a footy club, your heart's in your mouth a little bit until probably midway through the next day. But when I heard the guys were in golf outfits, I thought, that's not too bad. Golfers don't get into too much trouble, you know, Tiger Woods aside.
So, Robert Allenby.
Okay. So I shouldn't have said that. I should have thought through it a bit more. Maybe they'd get in trouble. But then, yeah, the first photos I saw weren't of plus fours. They were of, I think, Josh Jenkins in some turtle outfit. And
Eddie
I saw
Betts
Curly Hampton.
Eddie
Betts dressed as some jockey of a kangaroo. And then Curly Hampton was in some strange outfit from medieval times,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
so,
he's some sort of warrior.
I'm not sure if that was a stitch-up and they just sent those guys a different invitation and to see what happened. But it was a good way for the guys to sort of get away and relax. It's been obviously a tough couple of days following the grand final, but you know, they deserve the opportunity to go and, you know, have some fun. And, you know, it's said it's picked their chins up and because that's what we've got to do and we've got to move forward. So, look, I'm sure they had a good time yesterday.
And I have to say it was heartening to see in the letters to the editor today a lot of people coming out in defence of the boys. I mean, look, it was a terrible loss and all that stuff, but the fact that these guys have put in like they have and will continue to put in like they have over the last couple of seasons is a credit to them, and it's nice to see that people are sticking up for them and telling everyone to pull their heads in a bit.
Well, yeah, look, it's a game fueled by passion and emotion, and we get that, you know, when we don't play well, we cop a bit, and particularly in this state where, you know, footy is such an important part of people's lives. But, you know, I do think that there's a line that some people, you know, do cross, and I think some of the trolling's been, you know, look, it's to be expected. We sort of, we're pretty used to it, to be expected, but, you know, we can't walk away from the fact that it was a pretty decent year, and, you know, the guys won a lot of footy games. I think they brought joy to their supporters, you know, throughout the course of the year. Obviously made a first grand final in 19 years, and then we had a bad day out, and Richmond had a very good day out, and, you know, they're deserving premiers. So, you know, I think we've just got to actually review the game and the season in full context, and also in the cold light of day once emotions have been removed, and said, you know, we'll bounce back and be stronger. And look, we've also received plenty of letters of support from our fans as well. So I think that the bad ones probably get a lot of coverage, and the good ones obviously go by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But we know we've got a very large and very passionate supporter base. Oh, you wouldn't believe it just walked out. Giselle got out of bed. She's coming to see me. She's going, can you keep it down out there and get my breakfast?
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to the important stuff then.
All right. See you guys.
Cheers, folks.
You could tell halfway through the chat he was doing the whole phone between the shoulder and the head. So he was clearly using two hands to do something. Most likely if the dishes are not done by the time you get home.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
13 past 8, Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast while the boys are away this week, being covered by Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Alana Smith from Channel 7. But even though the boys are away, the big guests still with us this week as well, especially when it comes to one of the biggest names in Australia, Big Mal. Good morning.
Good morning to you all. Hello to you, Gleeson and Alana. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Triple M rocks Adelaide.
Lovely to have you on, mate. Now, listen, I was watching The Project, or I call it The Project, The Project last week, and you were mentioning your love of Tupac. Is it, you really do love hip-hop?
Well, Dave, I've always been a tremendous fan of hip-hop. Right back to the East-West rivalry, the death of Tupac, and B.I.G. Notorious, Biggie Smalls. Now, Snoop Dogg and Puff Daddy, people I've always identified with quite strongly, and so I decided to turn the election campaign last year into a rap battle. I don't know whether you remember my rap. I'm Malcolm Turnbull, I'm your sort of guy, vote for me, and the limit is the sky. I like Kafka, foie gras, and Sangiovese. Don't vote Labor. They'll assist the lazy. Now, I've added a verse to that, too. Word up. I'm svelte, I'm brown, I'm a man about town. If you come for me, I'll take you down to the C, to the F, to the M-E-U. If you're a union mother, I'll leave that beat out. I'm coming for you.
Wow, you're a man of many talents.
There, mother.
Oh,
look out.
Very catchy indeed. Now, Big Mal, I was actually sitting near you at the disastrous grand final, if you're a Crows fan, taking plenty of selfies with some of the punters, having a beer. How was it?
Well, I attended both, Alana, and I do remember seeing you there and Fags looking a bit grim towards the end there. Now, I had to look like I knew what was going on, which was exhausting. At the AFL Grand Final, I'm sure you remember I was sitting next to a Greg Hunt, which isn't rhyming slang. I was actually sitting next to Greg Hunt, Minister for the Environment. I've been smashed for 4 days, flicked a couple of pingers into the helmet, and I need to go on a mini cleanse this week. A bit of burdock, a bit of beetroot, a little bit of charcoal. Lucy will be looking after me. Yes, but it was a tremendous time for all. And commiserations to the Crows, of course.
And did you go to the NRL Grand Final as well?
Well, I did. I love a bit of Macklemore. And who doesn't love a cheerleader with flames flying out from behind her too? So 1970, isn't it?
Amazing.
Mr. PM, last week there was a gas shortage, and then it miraculously ended.
Let's get on to serious issues. We've made decisions, Alana, that will shore up our supplies into the future for all Australians. Tough decisions, brave decisions, and that is that every service station will carry another 50 gas bottles in that little cage next to the front door. And so if you run out of gas, just pop down the servo, grab a bottle. Yes. And it's really only Melburnians that need heating, so who gives a rat about them? Am I right or am I right?
Swap and go. Swap and go. All right, so have you got a song for us this week, Big Mel?
Well, in tribute to the great Tom Petty, who was who's dead yesterday, then alive, then dead, but has sadly passed away. And so I won't back down. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground. He was terrific, Tom, and violated the great Tom Petty. Before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Woodcroft. Nothing like a bit of Woodcroft on a Wednesday morning.
Big Mel.
I'm working blue now.
We'll catch up with you same time next week, Big Mel.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
good
mate.
On you guys.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
The boys away this week, filling in Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith. I will give the lads that are listening at the moment a bit of a heads up. This story may make you kind of, I don't know, put your legs together, kind of.
Not too tight.
Sympathy pain. Sympathy pain, because this one's going to hurt.
Yes, a horror tackle in football or soccer. So a 22-year-old Bosnian footballer was kicked between the legs and, ouch, loses a testicle.
Ooh, and look, as heavy as that is, I'm a mad fan of the cricket, and every time you see someone get hit in the testicles, all the guys come and say, "You all right?" And then they stand around laughing.
Yeah, that's right. Indoor cricket right through to a one-day test. It happens that way. Mate, I feel sympathy for this poor fella because I've been in a similar situation. Did it to myself. Let me explain.
Do explain.
You know, on a plane, how you got the old, you know, the old coupling belt that you kind of put in your lift to kind of, you know, let. And then you kind of got to tilt it. And that's how you extend the strap. Believe it or not, bit of extending to do on my part. But what I try and do is, the person that was in before me was, you know, paper thin. So I've got to really stretch it out. And I try and do that one-handed. I kind of grab the coupling, turn it on an angle, and then just pull it up.
Yep.
Now, I've done that, and it wasn't as long as I thought. And I try and do it really quick. So what's happened is I've done that, but my arm kept going when I'd reached the full length, and it's just come straight back down, bang. Now, the flight home, it felt like, how can I put this delicately at 22 past? It felt like there was a rubber band, a very, very tight rubber band.
Oh.
So, now I, as far as that goes, I went to the doctor. He had a look. He assessed the situation and said that I had ruptured.
Oh.
I had ruptured a testicle.
Oh.
It is as painful as what you make it out to be. It was horrible. I don't know if you've ever done it, Gleeso.
Yeah, well, I remember getting hitting them one time and the bloke started rubbing them. I said, "Don't rub them, count them." But I didn't know we were both there anymore.
Sorry, who was rubbing them?
The trainer.
133353, lads, be honest. How did you hurt your bunch? Just, oh, God, even thinking about it now, I'm sort of squirming in my chair over here. 133353, let us know because we need to get behind whenever anyone does go down like that. We like to rally around, do the right thing, share around the pain.
Mm-hmm. Have a laugh.
I was trying to avoid that. 133353, how'd you hurt your budge, Triple M?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Gleeso for the Jets and Channel 7's Alana Smith filling in. 133353, we want to know, how did you hurt your bunch? And we got tickets to see the Angels of My Sex at the Thebe, October 13. Get your tickets from ticketmaster.com.au. 133353. Alana's the only one in here not doubling up.
The phone's
over.
Lit up.
This is incredible. Adrian Aldinga, how did you hurt your bunch?
Yeah, g'day guys. How are you today?
Good morning.
Yeah, quite a few years ago, I met this young lady and we were kind of hanging out together for the first 12 months living together. And obviously I was pushing the buttons like you do as a young couple, and I kept pushing the button, So it ended up with her grabbing a block of Kraft cheese, the big blocks, and proceeded to throw it at me, Jack Crackers. And so about 15 minutes later, I couldn't quite still get off the floor. She'd gone by this stage, and I thought to myself, there's only two things you can do in this circumstance. You either react or you marry her, because only one bird on this planet that's worthy to marry is a bird that's defiant and stands up to a bloke. So 24 years later, we're still going.
Hey. And cheese and crackers is your favourite thing.
Got two beautiful daughters as well, so it's obviously worked on out.
Andy Woodville West, how did you hurt your old fella or your bunch?
It was a good song you played actually then too, prior to that. Where did my left ball go? The good Lord took it away from me.
What happened?
My son got hit in the left one after I bought him all his cricket gear and he didn't have a box. And I said to him, oh, you got to have a box, mate. He goes, you know what blokes are like? Nah, we can play cricket without a box. Well, he came home from training and it was hanging down to his knee.
Oh.
And I took him straight to Children's Hospital and he had an ultrasound on it and it was all clear. But we still joke about it today, and occasionally the box comes out at Christmas lunch or something, gets put on the table, and we laugh about it again.
Put some peanuts in it.
Very dangerous.
Oh, mate, you have our condolences on that one, even though everything turned out luckily okay. Mackie Mount Barker, how did you hurt your bunch?
Hi, guys. I'm in tears telling you this. I can tell you now. Many years ago, I was in an athletics team at school, and we were practicing high hurdles one day, you know, the 100 metres, 110 metres.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys was having a bit of a laugh, and the third or fourth hurdle, he lifted about 3 inches. As I'm going over it, it felt like a cheese slicer.
Oh! And it
smacked me straight in the girlies. And I heard this falsetto voice, not realising it was me, crumpled up on the floor. And, as you said, the coach was there, and I'm sure I'd lost him, but thank Christ I hadn't.
There you go. Oh, the old nasty hurdle straight up to split them.
Oh, this is just getting more and more painful, and it's not going to stop with Mick from Macclesfield. Mate, how did you hurt your bunch?
Hey, guys. I had a pretty sizable dog back in a few years back, and taking her for a walk one day, and she had a metal chain, metal dog clip, leather collar, and the leather collar broke, and I didn't even see the chain coming back, and the dog clip smacked me fair square in the plum, dropped me down to the ground, curled up in the fetal position, and all I remember is my missus just pissing herself laughing at me.
So it was effectively a chain slingshot back in the Ghoulies.
It was. Didn't even see it coming.
We're going to take one more, but I don't know how much more I can take. Shane in Engle Farm, how did you hurt your bunch?
I was hit with an ice hockey puck in the groin.
That it hurt.
And it detached my testicle from the tube that goes up into your stomach.
Oh.
And had over 6,000 internal stitches, microfiber stitches.
6,000?
I think it's called the vas deferens.
I was told I'd never have kids, and I now have 6 kids.
You also have Olympic sperm, in case you haven't realised.
Were you using that as that excuse as contraception?
Nah, we'll be right now.
Jeez. And still play ice hockey or not?
No longer.
Yeah, no.
I didn't play after that game.
I do not blame you, Shane. Wow. There's some really painful stories in there. I love just out the corner of my eye, I can see Gleeson to my right, and we're kind of squirming a little bit. Alana's there like, don't get any ideas. I reckon.
It is true. Women do generally. We go through enough, so.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that. Adrian in Aldinga, congratulations, mate. You're going to see The Angels and My Sex at Thebe Theatre October 13. You're going to have that absolutely huge, my friend.
Bloody awesome. Thanks, guys.
You can get your tickets from ticketmaster.com.au.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch up at triplem.com.au.